Praise the Lord. Thank you, Guy. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You thought we might get away from that for a week, but I tell you, we could spend months literally in this chapter. And it seems like the Lord keeps drawing my attention back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews because of I guess where we are as a church, and I suppose where I am as a Christian. And I want us to take some thoughts from Hebrews chapter 11 because there's a great deal that encourages me and I hope will encourage you from this chapter. And while we've been seeing God work in a marvelous way in these weeks, we want to continue to believe that God is not through and that He is up to some things that we have yet to even consider and even conceive of. We have not even begun to pray about the things that God wants to do in our midst, what He wants to do in our individual lives as well as in our corporate life as a church. We are told in Ephesians chapter 3 that God is, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we might ask or even think or conceive of. So we know that God's plan is always something bigger than what He is presently revealing. And yet what He's presently revealing is essential to what He is going to reveal. That what we embrace today by faith, and certainly what we walk in terms of our obedience today, that God ultimately uses this present moment to help us bridge into the things that He wants to do in the future. Hebrews chapter 11, I think, has just an array of principles for our life. In fact, when you're looking at your future, when you're talking about getting a good report from the Lord, when you're looking at how God created the universe, and you look at the subject of worship and heaven and our future and the blessings and an array of various subjects, within all those subjects is this one main theme in Hebrews chapter 11. It's the theme of faith. That's the thread which brings it all together. That's the essence of what the writer of Hebrews is talking about in Hebrews chapter 11. So what I'm going to do this morning, if you'll allow me to, is that this is a shotgun sermon, okay? I don't know if you're familiar with shotgun sermons, but this is what one of those shotgun sermons. And what that means is there's a whole lot to put out there, okay? And so we're just going to take a few verses at a time and just walk through these verses. And we're just going to discern the principles together. And we're going to walk away, hopefully, with some final thoughts from Hebrews 11 that I hope will catapult you into the future of what God wants to do in your life as well as our lives corporately, okay? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, a verse that we've already considered, but let's consider it in the greater context of this chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Remember, the four matters that we looked at several weeks ago is that God gave these people in Hebrews chapter 11 the vision to see, the faith to believe, the courage to do, and the hope to endure. Those are four abiding principles in this chapter that we've considered already. And we considered last week that God called these men and these women to die facing the right direction. He called them to die facing the right direction. He called them to die believing in His promises. And He called them to die believing that there would be those who would follow. Remember the last verse. Who would follow and take the baton and run with it so that the great cloud of witnesses of Hebrews chapter 12 that he's referring to now, referring back to chapter 11 about, they are witnessing to us. They are the martyrs. They are the ones who are telling us that God is faithful to fulfill His promise. But what do we find in this first verse? First of all, faith allows us to grasp in the present what God will do in the future. It allows us to grasp in the present what God will do in the future. Faith are our spiritual eyes. They allow us to take in this moment what God has promised for us in the future. It's the substance. It's the evidence. Literally, the word evidence means it's the title deed. God has given us, by faith, the title deed for what He's promised us tomorrow. That means tomorrow, next week, listen, today, Pat Davis is in the presence of the Lord, and she is seeing, as all those who've come to know Christ, she is seeing with her eyes what she believed by faith, but with her spiritual eyes. And we believe that, don't we? Either we believe that or we are miserable people. I'm telling you, there's nothing worse than a Christian that doesn't believe what he says he professes. Now, there's nothing worse than that. I mean, that's worse than a lost person. Because, you know, a person who doesn't know Jesus, they don't know what they've been into. They haven't quite partaken of it yet. They don't quite understand it. But someone who knows Jesus knows that we have this great salvation that we have laid hold of by faith. We believe today what God is going to do tomorrow. We have the title deed in our hand. It's faith. That's what God's given us. By the way, faith is a gift from God, according to Ephesians chapter 2. That faith, being a gift of God, allows us to come to know the very God who created us. And so we come to know Jesus by faith because God is allowing us to do that. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, listen. Listen, God has moved in a merciful way, in a gracious way toward us so that we now believe in Him. First John tells us that we love Him. Why? Because we decided one day that we were going to wake up and fall in love with Jesus. We decided one day that, yeah, I've had enough of this old world that I think I'm going to follow Jesus. No, we love Him, the Bible tells us, because He first loved us. He is the motivating reason for our love for Him. And so the very love that I have for Him, the very faith that I express in Him, all of these things are gifts from the Lord. And this is what we call grace. And we could refer to it as mercy as well. So faith allows us to grasp in the present what will occur in the future. Now, we've looked at that, but now in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, what else does faith do for us? Faith is a certain way to obtain a good report. It's the definite way to get a check plus. It's the definite way to get an A plus, you understand, for your life. It's the definite way. There's nothing arbitrary about faith. When we believe in the Lord and we follow Him by faith, because Colossians tells us, right, in chapter 2 and verse 6, that as we have received Christ, so shall we walk in Him. Which means that if we embrace Him by faith, the ability to walk with Him is also a faith journey as well. And it allows us to get a good report at the end of the day, at the end of our lives. And so faith is the certain way to obtain a good report. Now, this is a shotgun sermon, so we're going to move fast, and you'll catch something. Hopefully, you'll get hit by something today. Verse 3, right? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Another principle I see here in verse 3 is faith enables us to understand that the God that we don't see created the world that we do see. That's what faith allows us. For all the discussion about evolution and all the discussion involving creationism, the writer of Hebrews makes it very clear that God didn't take something and use some kind of chaotic mass to create this world. That He created it by His word. He spoke it into existence. And so God is the God that we do not see has created the world that we do see. We embrace that by faith. We believe that God shaped this world, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that there wasn't some, you know, nebulous mass. There wasn't some just chaotic existence that was out there and that God brought a semblance of logic out of chaos. No. God just simply said, I want to create it. And He did it. In technical terms, He created it out of nothing, ex nihilo. God just simply spoke, and there it was. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. By faith. By faith, you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you got faith, too, if you don't believe that. You just have faith in another process. But the Bible says that this is what God did. So we just simply embrace. And I think the principle here is that faith enables us to understand that the God that we don't see created the world that we do see. And we just simply believe that. And that gives me a great deal of comfort. You know why? Because it tells me that God is around 24/7 and He is thinking of things and conceiving of things and He is doing things without me. I mean, He had some things in mind and that He will fulfill His promises. Now in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet he speaks. Dead men tell no tales, it's been said. That's not true. All these dead folks in Hebrews chapter 11 are screaming and shouting at us, saying, listen, let me tell you that your faith is real in Christ. We know it by experience. Now, the Bible is an objective reality for us to embrace, but they were arguing from their own experience. They were simply saying that we can tell you this. The writer of Hebrews is saying, Abel and Cain, they came before the Lord and they offered up a sacrifice and they offered up their worship to the Lord, which is really the heart of what he's talking about here. That without faith, your worship doesn't mean a thing. That's the truth of it. Now, Abel brought his sacrifice to the Lord, and it was a blood sacrifice. And we could go into all the details as to why that sacrifice certainly was acceptable to the Lord in terms of how he approached the Lord, in terms of what he brought before the Lord. But at the end of the day, he embraced the Lord by faith. And he came and worshiped by faith. He came and worshiped by faith. So what makes our worship acceptable? Faith. And so when you look at your worship and the principle I think that we're to derive from this passage of Scripture is that faith makes our worship acceptable and it puts us in right relationship with the Lord. God rejected Cain's worship, didn't he? Which ought to tell us something about worship. Don't you think for a moment that any little thing you drag before God is going to be acceptable to him? Don't you think for a moment that any little thing that you could conjure up and throw up before God, that he's somehow obligated to smile upon it and say, you know, hey, that's pretty good. I think we'll accept that. He didn't accept Cain's offering. He accepted Abel's. And accepted Abel's offering at the end of the day because he brought it by faith. At least we know he brought it by faith, the writer of Hebrews tells us. And then there's another passage. Here's the shotgun, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The word translated just means that he was caught up. God just took him away. What we know about Enoch is that he walked with the Lord. And one of these rare moments, certainly rare in the Old Testament and in the Bible, is that we have a man who goes into the presence of the Lord. He's literally just sort of raptured out of there, taken up. But he's taken up because he has a testimony of a life that pleased God by faith, by faith. Enoch was a man who was translated from this place to the next. You want to move from here to there, from this place to that place, the only way you get there is by faith. In Christ Jesus, Enoch was a man who by faith pleased the Lord. And so, how do we get from here to there? We get from here to there ultimately by faith in the Lord. Then in verse 6, we've already considered this to some extent, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the only way to please God. I spent quite a bit of time on this a few weeks ago. But for some of you who are hearing it for the first time, let me just give you about 20 seconds. You can't please the Lord without faith. But with faith, it puts a smile on the face of heaven. You want to please your Creator? You want to please your Savior? Then by faith. Listen, what have you done recently in your life? What has happened most recently in your life where you exercise some element of faith in your life that's put a smile in heaven? What has it been? Because if you did, whatever it was, it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. And so it's impossible to please God without faith. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Faith produces a fear of God. You want to know how we know that Noah had faith? Because he feared God. How do we know that he feared God? Because when he received this word, I mean, as crazy as it sounded, they hadn't even seen, you know the story in Genesis, they hadn't even seen rain yet, okay? I mean, the world hasn't seen rain. Did you know that at that point? And he's out here building a boat. That's how we know he feared God, because of his obedience. He feared God. It was indicated by his obedience. That's how faith was seen. And so there's a vital connection between faith and the fear of God. So that when God puts something on your heart, you might be so fearful as to say, I'd better do what God just asked me to do. You say, well, people are going to think I'm a little kooky sometimes if I say, well, the Lord has told me that this is something I should do. Well, listen, he whispers more than he shouts. But when he whispers, you need to say, you know, Lord, I'm just here. Whatever you want me to do, I'm here. Whatever you want me to do. I think a good dose of the fear of God would help us all to realize that when God calls us to do something, we'd better do it because we want to please him. For those who feared the Lord, and Noah and his family, they were saved. And the Bible says that they became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. They were made right before God. And it was just a handful of them. Which tells me that sometimes the majority don't get the message. It's just a handful. But it seems like that is the way of the Lord. All the way from the old to the new, we find the remnant of those who choose to believe when others refuse to believe. Those who simply choose to embrace their faith and to live by faith and to walk in the fear of God. And that is reflected in obedience to the things of the Lord. Now listen, none of us have arrived, and that's why it's a journey. It's not, you know, we haven't reached the destination yet. It's a journey. So all of us need sometimes we all need a little encouragement and a little exhortation to simply step out there when it's a little rough. We need to be encouraged to do so. By faith, we can do that. And when we embrace the Lord, we'll see it with the fear of God. We just need to know that if God puts something on our heart, we'd better do that. We better, Lord, you know, I have no choice, Lord. I want to be your obedient servant. And Noah, he was that man. He was obedient to the Lord. Now, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he journeyed or sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now faith allows us to understand that the land of promise that Abraham looked for had future as well as present possibilities. It has future as well as present possibilities. Abraham was looking for something by faith. He was sojourning. He was moving through the land. He was simply just walking with the Lord, obeying the Lord, just taking his cues from whatever the Lord might say to him. And he was obedient. He knew the future realities. He believed those by faith. But he also knew the present reality of living by faith. Abraham is one of the most supreme examples of faith in the Old Testament. He's the patriarch. He is the man who really followed the Lord in a way that I think inspires us in this day, so that an entire nation today exists because one man heard the voice of the Lord and he followed after the Lord. An entire nation exists. And God is blessed. And there's a great deal certainly concerning Abraham's life that we could talk about. But in verses 11 and 12, faith is a belief in God's faithfulness. Verse 11, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. I don't know if you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. They're beyond years in having children, okay? You know, this isn't a young couple, having twins. This isn't a young couple having children. These folks can't have children. You understand? Biologically, it ain't happening. Excuse the grammar, but you got the sense of it, right? So by faith, Sarah embraces the Lord's promise. But notice the last part of verse 11. Because she judged him, she judged God faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. You know what she trusted in? It wasn't just faith. You know, faith, some people say, well, I got faith. And what they're saying is they have faith in faith. It's just sort of like, I have faith it's going to work out, and I'm hoping, you know, it looks pretty good. Forecast looks good. Hasn't looked real well, but I'm sort of hoping on a hope that it's going to work out. That's not faith. She had faith in the faithfulness of God. What that means is that what she ended up with, at the end of the day, she chose to believe that God would fulfill his promise. if he said he was going to do it, as humorous as it may have sounded at times, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Faith. What legitimizes our faith is the object of our faith, who is the Lord. What makes my faith reasonable, what makes my faith legit, is the Lord himself. And the fact that he's willing to fulfill his promise. When he says something, he will fulfill his word. And then let's move on here. The stories are numerous, and you can look at these. Hopefully you'll take out your Bible and do a little historical background on these stories. But in verse 13 through 16, we looked at it last week. Faith enables one to see and be persuaded and to embrace ultimately a better place, a better country. That's what the story is in verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded and embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What they said was, you know, we got a better place that we're going to. This isn't it. Now, that ought to be an encouraging word for some of you who lost most of everything that you had. This isn't it. If this is it, oh, no. You know, this isn't it. They, by faith, embraced the reality of a place, a far better place than where they were at the time. And that's what faith allows us to do. It allows us to be persuaded and to embrace something that's far better than today and this moment and this place. Now, don't throw away this moment and don't throw away this place. It certainly has value because the Lord has things that he wants to do in the present until he gets us into the future. But until we get there, we embrace that better country by faith. We're going to a better place. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. I'm here. I have dual citizenship. Over and over, you can see that you can look at the metaphors in the Bible and consider what it's talking about. I have a better place that I'm going to. And we would get excited about that if we embrace it by faith. By faith. Notice something else in verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only son. He said that. Now, that's one of those passages in the Old Testament that's hard to deal with. Abraham offered up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. He was willing to do that. What faith embraces is the great gift of sacrifice. There are some things that are only experienced in a sacrificial moment. Now, you know the story. He didn't actually end up having to offer up his son, but he was willing. You say, I can't really relate to that. I could never do such a thing. I could never. Listen, I know it. I feel what you're feeling. How could he do something like that? How could he even conceive of something like that? But he did it as an act of worship and offering unto the Lord, as sacrifice unto the Lord. And God provided a sacrifice, not his son. He's the Lord who provides. But what it tells me is that faith is linked vitally to this idea of sacrifice. So you can say, well, I have faith, but unless there's demonstration of sacrifice, something that might cost you, then you probably don't have evidence of faith. At least not in this area. And there are many different tentacles, many different aspects of faith here that he wants us to know about. And you may say, well, you know, I did real well in that verse 3, that aspect of faith. But over here, you know, in verse 17 through 19, I don't know about that. Sacrifice? You mean I've got to sacrifice? God may call me to sacrifice? He may. He may. And if he does, he'll give you the strength and the faith to do what you have to do and what you need to do. Abraham, once again, verse 20. Faith speaks openly the blessing of the Lord. And there's much here in this passage. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Isaac looked out there and he uttered a blessing. Parents and grandparents, when you speak the blessing of God over your children, you're doing that by faith. You're asking God to move in their life. You're asking God to bless your children and bless those grandchildren. And you're doing that by faith. You're asking God to do what you can't do for them. You're saying, Lord God, I need you to bless my child. I need for you to give them wisdom and strength. Lord God, take care of my grandson or my granddaughter who's in all kinds of places today that they don't need to be. Lord God, I'm asking for a blessing to fall upon my children and my children's children. We'd see a lot more done if we prayed in that way instead of just thought, well, you know, I hope it works out for them. Oh, I worry all day long, all week long. I just worry about my children. I worry about my grandchildren. Start asking for the blessing of God to fall on your family. And stop leaving it up to chance or leaving it up to circumstance where your children run off and, you know, come on. We've all had our crazy moments in life. And and they get in those moments, you say, well, what's going to happen to them? Their lives are in the balance. Their lives are in the balance. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. And there's a whole lot more to the story, isn't there? There always is in the Bible. There's such depth to Scripture. And then in verse 22, faith instructs the next generation to believe God's promises. In verse 22, by faith, Moses, when he was born, no, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You say, well, I've read that passage before. And what is he talking about? You remember Joseph? He became second in command in Egypt. But then after Joseph, there rose up a king who knew not Joseph. And from that point forward, the people of God are in a downward tailspin. I mean, they spent over 400 years in Egyptian bondage. If you're in Joy of Living, you've been studying the book of Exodus. You know what Joseph said? He said, there's going to come a day, hundreds of years in advance, that God would deliver his people. How did he know that? By faith. By faith. I said, well, wow, these people are amazing. They are heroes, truly. If there was ever a hero, these are heroes of faith. Joseph had that kind of faith. I wonder if God would entrust some of us with that kind of understanding, and we would be so bold as to, after he is entrusting us with that understanding, we would be so bold to actually declare it. We would have never known this had Joseph not declared this word, but he declared it because he believed that God had revealed it to him. And as we know the story, he set his people free in a tremendous way. Faith protects us. In verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. That's the thing that strikes me about faith here. Is it that faith protects us from fear and from those who are in a position of power. It protects us. It allows us to keep believing and holding on even when our very lives are threatened. He was not afraid. And Moses' family was not afraid. They, at least if they were, they were willing to allow their faith to surge while their fear was submerged. And they allowed faith to rise up in their heart and believe. Do you think they understood everything that would happen with Moses? No. But you don't have to understand everything in advance. You just have to be willing to believe. The power of faith. And these stories are over and over and over. If I quit right now, will you raise your hand if you promise me that you'll read the rest of these verses and you'll study them on your own, would you? See, I don't know if I can quit because I don't see any hands. Are you getting a picture of this? Faith takes us to places that in and of ourselves we can never go. Faith brings blessing into our life that in and of ourselves we could never obtain. Faith allows us to enter into moments that, while they seem circumstantially difficult, become sovereignly guided by the hand of the Lord when we recognize that, I know I see all of this, but Lord, I'm going to trust you anyways. faith allows us in moments when we are shaking in our boots to take the next step and to do what we know God wants us to do. Faith. Faith. Will you bow your head? You're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, you can come to know the Lord and believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that by Him all men can come to know the Father, but without Him no man can come to know the Father. A belief in Jesus Christ as your Savior means that you will be brought into a new family. You'll be granted the blessings of eternity with Christ in heaven. But listen, it's even better than just the future. There's the present blessing of the Lord. What would you say to the Lord today if He told you that He could do away and He could deal with every sin that you've ever committed in your life? What would you say to Him? What would you say to the Lord today if He told you that that your trust in Him would grant you forgiveness for every single thing that you'd ever done? Because He's saying that. And He's just looking for your response today. He's granted you a future and a present that is all-encompassing, that involves the Lord Jesus at the center of your life. That's what He wants for your life. He has better plans for you than what you have for yourself. There's no comparison. There's forgiveness for things that you've done in your life. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for that. Thank God for His grace and mercy. He is willing to give you what you do not deserve. Now, I don't know if you know anybody like that who's willing to give you what you do not deserve. It's called mercy. And that's what He's done for so many people in this place of worship already. They could tell you that. And so today, will you give your heart to Jesus? Will you confess Jesus as your Savior? Will you just simply, right there where you are, just simply call out to the Lord in words that you can shape and form, and just call out to the Lord right now. Just say, Lord, I need You. I ask You to cleanse me from my sin, to forgive me. I believe that You died on the cross for me, to die for me, Lord. Thank You. I confess You as my Savior. You are Jesus, the Son of God. And I give You my life because You gave Your life for me. Lord God, there are people praying today. They're asking for You to do a great work of salvation in their hearts and a great work of faith. Some today believing You not only for salvation, but believing You for things that are going on in their life right now. And they just need a word from heaven, an affirmation. Give them strength for the journey and hope that they might endure to the very end to see Your faithfulness fulfilled. Father, that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.